morning to the very last of the seven I ams. In John's Gospel, we have seven statements that Jesus makes about himself. And today we're looking at the words that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus made some huge claims about himself during the time that he was here on earth. And we either, there's just three things that we take from that. Either what he said was true. The words that he said were true. Or we say he was a liar. He was deliberately trying to deceive people, trying to make claims that were not true. Or there's a third possibility, that he was deluded, that he was mad. He really thought and believed what he said, but it was not the truth. And when we're faced with the things that we read in God's word, when we're faced with the words of Jesus, we need to take either the fact that we believe what he says as truth, we either dismiss it as lies, or we say he was just mad. And as we look at the claims that Jesus made in this time, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to decide, do we accept this as truth? Or do we say, well, it's not really true at all? And this statement actually has a claim, has a promise, but it also has a bit that sometimes people don't like to accept. No one can come to the Father except through me. And I want to look at that later on this morning. Let's start off by looking at the passage, which is John chapter 14. And we'll read the passage here. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And you know the way and the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen the Father has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This discussion took place during the Last Supper, just before Jesus was crucified. The disciples had been with him for 3 years. They'd seen him do many things. They'd seen him work miracles. They had heard many, many discussions, many, many things that Jesus had talked about. But you know, they obviously were having problems in understanding. Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. it's easy for us to look with hindsight, look back and say, well, okay, we know Jesus wasn't talking about a physical road, about a physical way, but he was talking about the way that he was going to open up for us to have a relationship with God through his death. But the disciples were really struggling to understand what he was getting at. Let's look at what had gone on just before this Last Supper time. Just 5 days before, we had what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, and you had people shouting and with palm trees, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They had seen popular acclaim for Jesus. You know, you'd got at least one of the disciples was a zealot. You have Simon the Zealot. Now, the zealots believed in, and that they were pushing to see the Romans overthrown and the theocracy, God being once again the king and the great ruler of the Jewish people. And I'm sure Simon, he saw this popular rising of people saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, the king. That maybe this was the next step. The next step would be even more people flocking to join this and to see the Romans overthrown. Okay, they knew he was a controversial figure. They knew that the religious leaders were not really behind Jesus, but the common people were. And so this had happened just a few days before, and I'm sure it was in their minds. If we go back a bit further, we find that we heard from Dave a few weeks ago about when Jesus said to the disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He recognized who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. Yes, they had a certain understanding. And if we look back in the Gospels, we find that Jesus had already talked to them about the fact that he was going to die. In Luke 18, it says that he told them that he would be scourged and he killed, and that on the third day that he would rise again. But at that point, it says in Luke, they couldn't understand him. They couldn't take it in. So here was Jesus, and they couldn't, talking to them, and they were still struggling to understand what he's saying. So we actually now have, we'll go back round the table the Last Supper. And there, okay, we've only got a few of the words that Jesus said, the highlights that John picked out. There must have been a long conversation that had gone on between the disciples and Jesus. And it was Passover time, and I'm sure they discussed the Jewish way of life, the sacrifices that were being made at the time, and all this sort of thing. But Jesus was actually proposing something radical here. He was talking to people with the same background. He was a Jew, they were a Jew. They all knew the Jewish traditions and the sacrifices. And he suddenly comes out and he to actually point out and show them that he was going to be the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. It would no longer be necessary for animals to be killed in order to try and gain forgiveness for sins, because he once and for all was going to pay that price. And Jesus said, I am the way. Now, 2 years, when I was doing my PowerPoint, 2 years ago, I found a message that I spoke on in Romans, and I actually used this slide here. You've got that picture of the gulf that has been fixed because of man's sin. There is a gulf between man and a holy God. And Jesus says, I am the way. Next one. I am the way. I am that bridge that is going to enable sinful man to come into communion with God. Something radical. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. He then said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I speak the truth. He said, I am the truth. Part of his character, part of his being is truth. If you have someone who says, oh, I speak the truth, you can believe them. And yes, they may speak the truth, be truthful people. But there's always that point which maybe sometime, somewhere, there might be something that's an untruth that comes in. Now, Jesus didn't say, I speak the truth. He said, I am the truth. And I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. There was no other way. There is no other way. And you know, later, the disciples lived out that truth, and they understood. But as they were sitting around that table, they were struggling. They were struggling to really take it on board. But you see, Jesus knew that when he had gone back into heaven, and when the disciples were left here on earth to spread the good news, to actually preach and teach, that they would be faced with temptations. They would have people that would say, do you know, you're deluded. We saw him die. Why are you still pushing that message? There would probably be the temptation to return to their Jewish practices, to do the sacrifices, to join in with everything else, because that was what they knew. And Jesus said, then they were reminded that Jesus said, I am the way. Got people who would say, look, Stephen got killed. Everybody dies. And they were reminded of the fact that Jesus said, I am the life. You saw me after I died. You saw me when I came back from death. And we know from one of the other I ams of Jesus, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. There was that truth there. So there we have that situation that, the disciples, John pulled out that statement that Jesus made, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As something that was key, something that we did to hold on to. And the disciples, as they went on through their lives and through difficulties, they could hold on. They were reminded of that truth. Those words of Jesus, they burned into his heart. They'd experienced it. How do we live this out today? You know, for the believer, this promise is a. Can we go to the next? Can we go to that? This promise is something to really hold on to. Jesus said, I am the way. It's not the case of our own efforts, of us trying to live lives that will attain the right level for God to accept us. Jesus has said, I am the way. And when Jesus died, that the veil of the temple that was there, that closed off the Holy of Holies and the presence of God from people, remember, that was torn in two supernaturally, and the way was made open to God. And not only that, up until that time, up until the death of Jesus, the Jews had that. Yes, the Jews had that special relationship with God, and yes, the Jews still have that special relationship as God's chosen people. But people who were not Jews, those who were Gentiles, were outside. The old covenant only was given to the Jewish people. Once Jesus had died, there was that new covenant that opened up the possibility for those of us who are Gentiles, those of us who do not have Jewish background, to have access to God. And we have a welcome. We have Jesus, as it were, standing there and saying, welcome into the family. Welcome into access with God. And then, okay, we think about that. That Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way for ultimately to find our presence, to be with God when we die. That is the ultimate. I'm the way that leads to God, that leads to heaven. But you know, there's a present aspect to it as well. It's not just focusing on the future. Yes, we know where we're going. We know where we're heading. Martin spoke of the Thanksgiving service for Fizz and for Janet. We know where they've gone. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm preparing a place for you. But you know, there's that aspect of I am the way in the present, here and now. Jesus provides us with a way. The way to what? Yes, to attain heaven. But yes, and the way to obtain access to the Father now. We have that open access. We have that means of communication with God the Father. And Jesus says elsewhere, in me, the Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will guide you in the way that you should go. So Jesus says, I am the way. And there is an aspect when we're seeking. Last week we looked at the true vine and being grafted in to the vine and being in unity with Jesus as the vine and having his life flowing through us. There is that aspect of as we are living in the vine, as we are living in communion with God, our day-to-day way will be shown to us. We can experience God guiding us, leading us. Kez shared about the way in which they went to that man, the way in which they'd been praying that God would guide them, the way in which he would lead them. And as they were walking in the way, they were able to be God's channel to reach and touch that person. And there's a point where, even in terms of our living day by day, so many people seem to lack purpose, seem to lack hope, seem to lack direction. You can talk with people who wonder, well, why am I here? What am I doing? Who get discouraged, get into depression. In Christ, we have a way, we have a direction, and he will guide. He promises that he's with us. So let's hold on, as believers, hold on to that truth that Jesus says, I am the way, and I will guide you, I will lead you. Not just, I'm the way that's going to lead you through to heaven at the end of your life. But I am the way that will guide you and lead you in the way that you should go. And then Jesus says, I am the truth. And you know, we live in a world that has so many grey areas. And very few absolute truths. So often, what you choose to believe can be right in different areas of life. And today's lies, the things that are not accepted today, that are seen as wrong, become the truths, the norms of tomorrow. We live in a life where, in a world where everything is unstable. Let's hold on to the fact that we know the truth in knowing Jesus, because Jesus says he is the truth. And not to allow ourselves to be swayed, not to allow ourselves to be pulled in different directions. Again, Kez mentioned how that gentleman that they met on the bench and the lies he was believing. You know, Satan gets us to believe so many lies about ourselves and to tell us that we're no good, to tell us that we're going in the wrong direction, to tell us we've failed. And we need to hold on to the truths that Jesus speaks into our lives, to hold on to the truths that we find in God's word, that God created us, loves us, knows us, and that he guides us, to hold on to the truths, because Jesus says, I am the truth. And then he also says, I am the life. And in John 10:10, he actually is talking about life, and he says, I'm come that they may have life and have it to the full. Again, God promises us in Jesus that we have life to the full. Not necessarily easy. It's not that everything's going to be all rosy. We live in a fallen world and there are difficulties and problems, but he gives us life to the full. And as I've said, so many people lack purpose and they wonder why they're here. We each of us have a God-shaped hole in our life that can only be filled by God. And so many people try to fill it with other things, and it fails. Might satisfy for a while, but ultimately it runs out and no longer has the power to help. And knowing Jesus gives that extra dimension, life, to the full, here and now. But of course, there is the flip side. You've got that statement there, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's not very comfortable. It's a bit controversial. If we have loved ones who are not Christians, often we would rather not think about it. And then some people, even Christians, like to say, well, there are many ways to God. Okay, the Christian way is a way to God, but there are many other ways to God. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. There are people who say, well, God's a God of love. He'd never send people to hell. Scripture says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Many of us know people who are good, moral people. Sometimes they're even better than people that you call Christians. Can we go next one? Another picture of the Great Gulf. There are people who have good works. They really live good lives. They do things. Maybe they're religious. Maybe they've got plenty of money. Maybe they're very moral. But none of those things will bridge that gulf. Because Jesus says, I am the way, no one can come to the Father except through me. And you know, it doesn't make sense that God should send Jesus to suffer and die if it wasn't necessary. If there were other ways in which people can come to God, if he's going to open the door to the people who are good but who've rejected Jesus, what's the point? Next one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We take the example of Muslim peoples. Many of them live moral lives. They're pious. They pray. A good Muslim will pray 5 times a day. Do you pray 5 times a day? I certainly don't. They fast. They spend a whole month fasting. They're pious people. But they do this with the hope that they'll have enough good deeds to get themselves to heaven. And it's so tragic because it won't be enough. They believe that Jesus was a prophet, but they deny that he died. The Quran will say they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, it just appeared that he died. So they cannot embrace the fact that Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, died in order to bring salvation. I spent over 30 years in Africa with a burden for Muslims, many of them working amongst Muslims, with a desire to see them come to know Christ. If that scripture is not true, if there are many ways for people to reach God, that was a life that was wasted. We have Andy and Aaron, who are there in Turkey, again working amongst Muslims. We have Demelza there in Romania, with that desire to see people finding the truth from Jesus that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and through him that they can enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a message of hope. It's a promise to hold on to. But it's also a challenge to us as we face a world and so many people who do not know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe in your current situation, you have areas. I'm just thinking that first part of the sentence, I am the way. Is there an area where maybe you're needing to sense, find the way in your life at the moment? I am the truth. Is there an area you're struggling with? Or I am the life. Do feel free to we encourage you to ask someone to pray with you if there's an area where you want to see God step in your life today. But also I want to leave with you the challenge of, are you playing your part somehow, somewhere, in sharing this good news with people who don't know him? Just pray, and then the group will come and sing. It brings the last song. Lord, we thank you for that truth that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that opened up the way for us to know the Father, to have a relationship with the Father. Lord, we thank you for that, and we want to hold on to that truth. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here that they will hold on to the reality and will know the truth of you, who are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, help us as a church to be able to reach out to our community, to those who do not know him and the way to God. In Jesus' name, amen.